Helen and I didn't coordinate it, all of this and what was said in the language of pilgrims and covenant and the history lesson, but that's part of the grace of these mornings. Because this reading is from Unitarian Christianity, which was the sermon by William Ellery Channing. And this is in the book that I'll talk a little bit about, but that I'm reading from, but I could have brought it from Channing's writings. But it's called Christ for Unitarian Universalists by Scotty McLennan. And he points out that both of the great statements of faith of the Christian Church, the Apostles' Creed and the Nicene Creed, refer to belief in, and many of you in this room know them by heart and could tell me what they say, refer to God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, and then the Holy Spirit. In America, the term Unitarian began to be used around the turn of the 19th century as a slur against certain liberal Christians who seemed to reject the concept of the Trinity. But then in Europe, actually Unitarian goes much further back into the history of Transylvania and the only Unitarian king in history, John Sigismund, 1540 to 1571. But in America, William Ellery Channing, who was then the minister, the Congregationalist minister of the Federal Street Church in Boston, preached a sermon at a Baltimore ordination in 1819 titled Unitarian Christianity, with which he became the first person in the United States to wholeheartedly embrace the term Unitarian and claim that it represented true biblical Christianity. Some of Channing's reasoning in that sermon included this, quote, "The proposition that there is one God seems to us exceedingly plain. We object to the doctrine of the Trinity that subverts, in effect, the unity of God. According to this doctrine, there are three infinite and equal persons possessing supreme divinity called the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We are astonished that any man can read the New Testament and avoid the conviction that the Father alone is God. Jesus, in his preaching, continually spoke of God. The Word was always in his mouth. We ask, does he by this Word ever mean himself? We say, never. On the contrary, he most plainly distinguishes between God and himself, and so do his disciples. I'm aware that these remarks will be met by two or three texts in which Christ is called God and by a class of passages, not very numerous, in which divine properties are said to be ascribed to him. Now we maintain that the known properties and circumstances of Christ, his birth, sufferings, and death, his constant habit of speaking of God as a distinct being from himself, his praying to God, his ascribing to God all his power and offices, these acknowledged properties of Christ, we say, oblige us to interpret the comparatively few passages which are thought to make him the supreme God in a manner consistent with his distinct and inferior nature." Of course, even if we use the term the Son of God for Jesus, few Unitarian Universalists would ever mean it in an exclusive sense. Scotty says, "For just as one might say Jesus spirit, one could say Krishna spirit or Buddha spirit, and one could refer to a number of other people with a similarly elevated level of spiritual consciousness." Channing insists, quote, "To know Jesus as the Son of God is not to understand what theologians have written about his eternal generation or about a mystical, incomprehensible union between Christ and his Father. It is something far higher and more instructive. It is to see in Christ, if I may say so, the lineaments of the universal Father. It is to discern him, in him, a godlike purity and goodness." The other reading is about Scotty, more from Scotty McLennan's background, and why he would even write this book about Unitarian Universalists and Christ. And he said less than 20% of us identify as Christians, but more than 70% of Americans identify as Christian. And we Unitarian Universalists are only 0.3% of America at best. So primarily, he's trying to help us talk intelligently about Christ with our many Christian friends. And why would a book on Christ for Unitarian Universalists, why call it that when we virtually never use that title for the historical figure of Jesus of Nazareth? Again, primarily because that's how the rest of the world speaks. They refer to themselves and others who stand in the tradition of Jesus as Christians, not Jesusians. Christ is an honorific title that technically means the Anointed One of God. Scotty goes on to tell his story and his background, being raised in a Presbyterian family, Presbyterian minister, or Presbyterian Christian family, his father, a Presbyterian businessman. And then he goes on to spend a summer in India studying with a Hindu priest. Scotty was an engineer and wanted exact answers. It turned out the priest was an engineer as well. And Scotty says, I became so drawn to this Indian way of thinking that at the end of the summer, I asked the priest about how I could become a Hindu. Oh no, he exclaimed, you've missed the main point of everything I've been teaching you. There are many paths up the spiritual mountain that get to the top, and Hinduism is just one of them. Others are Buddhism, Taoism, Judaism, Islam, Christianity, and more. You come from a Christian family in a Christian country. Your ethics are Christian, your sensibilities are Christian, and your worldview is Christian. You know virtually nothing about Hinduism. Go back to America and be the best Christian you can be if you want to be a Hindu. Scotty said, I was very upset and told him about the limited views and my opinion of the Christians I'd grown up with. He's helping you say what you're saying. I explained my problems with God as person and of allegedly needing to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior to be saved and avoid going to hell. Do you think I'm going to hell? The priest asked. Of course not, I responded, if heaven and hell have any meaning anyway. So he continued, can't you think of God as an impersonal force in the universe and of Jesus as a very spiritually advanced human being like Krishna or the Buddha? He then instructed me, go back to America and be an open, non-exclusive Christian. You can follow in Jesus' footsteps while still appreciating the journeys that others take on their own paths up the spiritual mountain. So then he tells the story of going back and trying to be that non-exclusive Christian, but then having the Presbyterian minister with some exasperation tell him when he'd said about he wanted his Christian faith to be constantly stimulated by exposure to other religious traditions, the Presbyterian minister said, go check out the Unitarians then. They seem to think like you. Although they're short on theology, they're long on ethics. They're a free, non-doctrinal tradition, and they try to include all the world's religions and philosophical traditions. With them, I think you'll be able to follow the open Christian path that you describe, as well as to stay in touch with the teachings of other great religions and philosophies of life. So I got a book by Jack Mendelsohn called Why I Am a Unitarian. The next summer, I began attending the North Shore Unitarian Church near Chicago. I've never looked back. When I graduated from college, I went straight to divinity school, along with law school, and became a Unitarian Universalist minister after I graduated. It's been a wonderful, constantly evolving journey in a gloriously pluralistic movement. I still sometimes call myself a Hindu Christian or Christian Hindu, more often a Unitarian Universalist Christian or a Christian Unitarian Universalist, and most often simply and proudly, a Unitarian universalist. I realized when I established this title and this idea that I was walking into this whole large, broad, complicated universe. So that's why those readings are a little bit long to set that context. But I want to make it kind of simple this morning. And I hope we'll have some time for your comments. But I'd like to begin with the sign and the question mark. The title has a question mark in it, as in not enough Jesus? It's a question. Well, the sign went up and it said, not enough Jesus. There was no question mark on the sign. That changes the meaning a little bit. It puts a statement out there on Canuga that... So I came in and actually, Chuck and Becky Elston are the ones who do the sign. And yesterday he owned up to the fact that they didn't put a question mark on it. But I didn't know that. I didn't know who did it. And I went looking all through the office, through the box of letters for the sign and everything. And I couldn't find a question mark. Well, I want to tell you, what self-respecting Unitarian Universalist congregation can be caught without a question mark? Well, it turns out we have one, but it's when we cleaned through the letters for the sign, it got put in the archives. Who archives a question mark? So we printed one off the computer. Vicky printed one off the computer and laminated it with plastic, and we put it out there. And so then it shows we're really asking the question because, you know, we're putting it up there. But who could be caught without a question mark, particularly for this question? Because it's part of our heritage. It's one of our strengths, one of our unique strengths, as you've heard. When I talk about religion as a word of orientation, two of the cardinal points on my compass emerged or are a part of Christian traditions: Universalism and Unitarianism. Universalism answers that question very directly about heaven or hell. It says a loving God would not condemn people to hell. There's no question about that. It's not an issue. That issue has actually been assimilated by a lot of progressive Christian churches, that universalism. But the Unitarianism has an exalted view of human possibility with originally Jesus as an exemplar, meaning there was a teacher that you could be with and be in relation to who actually showed you what it meant if you asked the question, what does it mean to live well, gave you answers in relation to how to live in relationship to an inclusive universe, a loving God, and how to make that real in your life and in the world around you. So me, when I ask this question, I have to say that I'm unapologetically religious in my Unitarian Universalist understanding, not as an ist, but as an orientation in that inclusive universe and ways of expanding our circle of compassion and being engaged in trying to do that. I could do that without Jesus. I could do that without Buddha. One of the things for me is that the natural world and my background and connected with it is personal. When somebody says, you need a who, that's my who that I'm in. But that's not true or connected for everyone. And there are also other reasons for me that I should be asking this question. It's an important one for our orientation, for a broader and conversation, and for our time. And I would say it's a big question for our needs to be connected together. Many of you have heard me tell the story of my daughter Hannah sitting in her car seat when she was 5 years old, and we were just turning on to Church Street going by the high school. She's in her car seat, and that's where she reflects, used to reflect on big things. And she said, "Dad, I want to go to the church with Jesus." Okay. That kicked me right in, and so we're going down, and I started in. I said, "Well, we could do that. We can go there." And then I began, "Well, he's not really there." I was talking to a five-year-old. "But it's like he's there. They talk about him a lot. And every Sunday they read stories about him that are in the Bible. And the people who go there talk about what they do and what they should do, and they think about what Jesus would think. It's like they know him. For them, he's that person who helps them know about God when God is this just God and makes God seem real to them, kind of like a father, like me." And I said, "They think of God then as Jesus' father. It's like Jesus is everyone's teacher and a family member and someone special." I'm sure I said more and less, but if you think about it, I'm trying to fit that into the length of Church Street and a five-year-old, in five-year-old language. But in grown-up language, there is a common sense and need, almost a religious longing for many, that need of belonging. There are many of us, many people who want to go to the church with Jesus. For many, Jesus does help make the abstract real. He's an embodiment of tradition, of thought, relationship, symbolically, as we said, more than a teacher. People don't identify, remember, as, I love that, Jesusians. They identify as Christians, where Christ can be that connection to wisdom tradition, Sophia, to right relationship, to soul, to heart, to deeper meaning, to something more, to that personal and personalized spirituality. It helps make them be, or anybody be, in relationship with a being and a presence that's personalized. And that language connects with me. Also, Jesus has the common shared stories for many who grew up Christian, stories known from childhood. He actually, that sense, touches that which is in our bones. For some, Jesus, the person, becomes the companion, actually in daily experience of guidance and belonging, a personal friend, I guess spiritual friend. Getting to know Jesus better could be an introduction and connection to a larger community of shared religious orientation, just our neighbors, but also Pope Francis and his very real lived preferential option for the poor. Or in North Carolina, William Barber and the Moral Monday movement. Jesus could be a challenge to our own views. He could be that challenger that could speak to us and we could hear. I had a New Testament professor who said it's important to read the New Testament not as a proof text, and that by that he meant if you enter it with an idea of what you're going to find and you come out with that same idea, you haven't done your work. A challenge. I think it could also be a way to reach across divides. And there are many other things here, but I want to leave time for you to talk. So what might we do? Well, the first thing is, how many of you remember what Hannah said after patiently listening to me go on the whole length of Church Street? Okay? She listened to this whole thing. So she'd said, "Dad, I want to go to the church with Jesus." So I went through this whole thing. It's sort of like, you know, those talks about sex when they're in the bathtub and they ask you that and you go, "Oh my gosh, how did I make it brief?" But so I did this all down Church Street, and she sat there in silence. So I get to the end, and I said, okay, Hannah? And she goes, no, Dad, I want to go to Chuck E. Cheese's. We are fine as we are, but what might we consider or explore? And I may not be hearing you right or hearing this right, but I've thought about doing the lectionary, using the lectionary, and somebody said, what's the lectionary? It's the list of biblical passages, which is common lectionary that Christian churches use so that they can go through the Old Testament and the New Testament on a 3-year cycle, and so that everybody is considering the same lesson on a Sunday morning. So we could take that those lectionary passages. This morning is the parable of the wedding feast. We could use that for reflection once a month, or maybe once every 2 months. And I'm definitely going to offer Scotty's book as a book study if there's interest and sign up. So explore. We began with the story of I couldn't find the question mark. But that's our strength, and that's our openness. So I'm putting the question back to you. What are your thoughts? What are your reactions? I have people who tell me, we talk about Jesus too much. And I say, you mean on Easter and Christmas? And they say, yeah. And there are people who say, we don't talk about Jesus enough. Because I want that authority, I want that heart to connect with my head. So my questions here are, how might I hear these comments together? How might his teachings, or could he and his teachings not be more a part of our religious understanding and practice? If we wanted that, what might that mean? So I just wonder your response to this morning. Our questions, our reactions. I can see it in your faces here.
Good morning. I'm Bill Elder. Thank you, Ed. Okay, there we go. I need to stand up. Okay. I made it. Like most of you, I grew up, well, like some of you, I grew up in the Christian tradition, Methodist from birth until college, where I drifted away. And I have a lot of curiosity and sort of how does that all fit in with what we are here. So I bought this book about a year ago, maybe 6 months ago. And I bought it because it came as an email from the UUA bookstore promoting a new book, and I was really hooked by the title. I was expecting the title to be something like Jesus for Unitarian Universalists, not Christ for Unitarian Universalists. That sort of was a discord for me. And so I started reading it, and I talked to Jim about it a little bit, and I got real intrigued with how I could fit that stuff together in my head, and that's kind of where I still am. I would certainly be one of the ones who would love to see a discussion group around that book.
Thanks, Bill. Bill was also one of those comments who, I'll add him, but it was that the head and the heart is that from his history and his experience, there was a sense of the heart of being in a Christian congregation and those common shared stories. And I see people nodding around that. Anybody? Anybody else? Oh, I had a hand over here.
Hi, my name is Giselle. I grew up also in a Christian family and bowed my head and asked for forgiveness, and I didn't feel anything. There was no connection, there was nothing, and so rebelled a lot about Jesus and was like, Unitarian Universalism, this is where it's at. But I like to, now I have a relationship with Jesus because I got to create my own idea and my own belief about Jesus and my own feeling about Jesus, and it feels good to finally know what that is and to know how that feels in my life, and I'm very interested in being more a part of that. I know that there was a Course in Miracles group here, and I believe very strongly in that book and the teachings that flowed through, and it opens a bigger door of who Jesus is and what the message is, but I think it is very personal, and I'd love to be part of a Course in Miracles group again.
Great.
Oh, I'm wearing Jesus.
My name is Rich DeSimone. Some of you know me, some of you don't. I don't profess to be a Christian, but I have learned a lot about Christianity and other religions, and I think there's a lot for all of us to gain by learning more about those types of things. I come at things from a historical perspective, usually, since my main interest in this is historical. I've gone to the lectures at the Congregational Church, which are on every Friday in the fall and through the winter, about the different world religions, about how Jesus became God. This year they're doing a series on lives of great Christians. You know, how you define them is totally arbitrary, but and that type of thing generally interests me. But you probably also, if you do know me, know that I grumble a lot about the sermons and that we hear. Because so much of it is preaching to the choir. And I think we really do need more of an exposure to the ideas of religions around the world and what they have to say about living well. And being a good Christian is part of it. I mean, there's nothing different about what the Buddhists say ultimately, and the Hindus and the Muslims and the Jews. We all come from probably the same point if you trace further back. So I think the suggestion of first starting with that book and having a discussion group is a good place to begin.
Stand it back. My name is Diana McKendry, and I'm new to coming regularly. Part of what I do is I teach in a program where I teach spiritual direction, and it comes out of a Christian foundation in terms of the man who started it, the Hayden Institute. But what I have learned through my own personal journey and through the teachings that I offer is that Jesus was actually, in my mind, the first person who brought forth the concept of becoming conscious, that we were to be conscious of who we are fully, and that that is the Christ within. Therefore, we are called to be able to see the Christ within one another. And rather than, and I really believe that it should be written Jesus the Christ rather than Jesus Christ. He was not named Jesus Christ, he was named Jesus, but he became the Christ. So as a teacher and as a caller to see that energy in one another, I think for me is the path that allows forgiveness, that allows inclusivity, it allows differences and challenge, lots of challenge.
Thank you.
I'm Helen Bishop, and I look at the ads that run in our local media every week from different congregations. What I notice is that all of them say we should do this good thing or that good thing because we are in relationship with Jesus. And I think we are the only congregation that says we should do this good thing or that good thing because it's the right thing to do. I think for us, love is the answer, and I personally reach that without going through the doorway of Jesus, if you will.
Hello, my name is Marina Logan, and I grew up in a communist country. I come from Hungary, and so my childhood wasn't defined by any Christian tradition. We were pioneers and very different. And then I actually became a Christian over here. When I was 16, I was baptized a Catholic, and then I went back to Hungary and left the church. And then in university, I discovered the community of Saint Egidio, which is our mainly Catholic community, but mostly evolving around service. And I became part of it in my university years, and for 7 years, we did lots of things. And one thing that for me is very important about Jesus and his disciples is the sense of community. And when I came here a year ago, I felt that this is the place where I find that community. And that's what I just wanted to share, that I'm very grateful for it, for being here. And I don't know if that all makes sense.
Anybody else? Let's see if I can pull this together. What we're hearing is an appreciation for this space where religion, our religious orientation, which is that orientation to life and love and the universe and the broader sense, doesn't have to be mediated through a Christian lens. I guess that would be a way to put it. But we also hear that in that openness, let's not exclude many of our backgrounds and traditions and connections and the power there. And one of those backgrounds and connections is through our Christian tradition. And as Diana said, Jesus the Christ, sort of as connection to this larger sense of something more that is part of why we're here in the first place. So am I kind of hearing that right? And kind of, so how can we bring this in so that this community that we love, for many of us, can also embrace the community and the connection that we have either on our spiritual path or from our history that we would like to work more with? Is that pretty much? If somebody sees different or hears different, let me know, because that's what I'm trying to get. I also had, let's see if I got it. Well, I'll just flip to it in the book, is that we also are here with this bigger sense of something more. And we Unitarian Universalists have our own connections. And I really hesitate to use the names. It's us as people in our bigger spiritual awareness and presence. But we're no strangers to a living, daily, real-time faith either. It's important to recognize that. And I was trying to share that from myself. We honor those direct experiences transcending mystery and wonder in our principles affirmed in all cultures. And here's what Scotty McLennan says. We have points of context and potential insight into Christian claims to experiences of being born again and that awareness of divine presence. Many of us could say with William Wordsworth that we have felt a sense sublime of something far more deeply interfused, whose dwelling is the light of setting suns and the round ocean and the living air and the blue sky, and in the mind of men a motion and a spirit that impels all thinking things, all objects of all thought, and rolls through all things. And then informs us that this is for all people and all beings. So we've established, we've found the question mark, and Yep, not enough, Jesus. And maybe too much for some. But we've explored and opened and named the question, and that's what we've been doing for 300 years.